Come on.
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush for one more hour. John's going to be back tomorrow. Reason will return to Rush to Reason on Wednesday, which is great news. Luke Cashman, are you having a good time?
I am having a great time.
Are you holding up?
I think I'm holding up well. How do you think I'm holding up?
I think you're doing great. I really do. Hey, on the line right now, we got somebody who always does great. That is John Zemirak from Stream.org. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Okay, now, did you want to talk about your latest article, which involves the Antichrist, or did you want to go on to any other topics first?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that.
I got to tell you something what we're spending on, on infrastructure, which isn't infrastructure, and on COVID without fighting COVID, just in terms of economics, Joe Biden's starting to worry me about it.
Oh, geez.
No, he's not the Antichrist, but my goodness. Yeah, he is let's just say he is the anti-economy president.
He's the anti-Reagan.
He is the anti-Reagan. There you go. My goodness. Unbelievable. Okay, John, go ahead.
Well,
what would you like to talk about first?
I'll talk about that. I did a series at stream.org on the question of Pope Francis trying to rehabilitate Judas and suggest that maybe Judas is a saint in heaven, that we should consider that God forgave him anyway and take this as a model of God's mercy. But in the series, I pointed out that Pope Francis is weirdly selective about who he grants mercy to.
Okay, how so?
He grants mercy to people on the political left who aren't even repentant. Like Emma Bonino is a big leading Italian abortionist and abortion activist. She's done thousands of abortions herself. He invited her to the Vatican. She hasn't changed her mind. She hasn't repented. He brought her to the Vatican and praised her. Jeffrey Sachs, the guy who ruined the economy of Russia under Yeltsin, but also an international abortion activist. Bernie Sanders, invited to the White House. Pro-abortion. Joe Biden, elected president of the U.S., praised and congratulated by Pope Francis. All those people he forgives even though they didn't repent. Imagine the father in the prodigal son story trooping down to the pigsty and getting in it with the son, slapping him on the back and handing him a revised will, disinheriting his older brother. That's basically what Pope Francis wants, because there are people Pope Francis won't forgive, like Donald Trump, for wanting a border wall to control immigration, and the people voting for Donald Trump. Pope Francis said they are not Christians. You know who else he said were not Christians?
Who?
Anyone who manufactures weapons of any kind for use by anyone.
Wait a minute now. One of the greatest, most faithful people of the Bible was the Roman centurion, and Jesus never told him, hey man, you got to drop your job and not carry weapons and fight anymore for your country.
Very good point. Pope Francis, in a speech in 2017, said anyone who makes weapons at all can't call himself a Christian. And then, 5 minutes later, in the same speech, condemned Winston Churchill and FDR for not bombing the tracks that led to the death camps in World War II. Now, I think that would have been a good idea. I'm sorry they didn't do it, but what did Pope Francis think they should have dropped on those railroad tracks? Bibles? Self-help books? Ukuleles?
I like the self-help books idea, bombing them from the sky with them. At least bombing them with self-help books, you would annoy them to death.
That's right. You get the Nazis all doing reading Think and Grow Rich and meditating on profit and worshiping mammon instead of Hitler.
Hey, John, one question here because and I'm going to ask it of Luke because of what you brought up. Luke, what do you think about a religious leader, because you believe in the Second Amendment, a religious leader saying anybody who makes weapons won't go to heaven?
I don't even know where to begin on that one, honestly. I think it's ridiculous, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. That's kind of a silly thing to say.
It's a tool. You can do good or bad with it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're a little kid, you know, fresh out of church, and you sharpen a stick in the back of the churchyard because you want to go, you know, poke yourself. It's a weapon.
Yeah.
Going to hell now.
Okay.
Well
done.
My next book.
John, back to you.
My next book is called God, Guns, and the Government, and it shows how the Second Amendment in America comes directly from the concern for religious freedom among Protestants in England in the 1700s.
When's it coming out?
In the 1600s. In about a year. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
But if you look at the text, the British Declaration of Rights of 1689, that's where their Second Amendment effectively was created, and it specifically tied gun rights to religious freedom. And that's where our founders got the Second Amendment. So it's a direct connection. The concern for religious freedom was the first reason why gun rights should be widely distributed in America. And nobody talks about this, so that's going to be my next book.
John, I know that as Christians we are to be gracious. Obviously, turn the other cheek, right? But I think it's very disturbing what you're bringing up here with the Pope. I mean, he is picking and choosing who to be gracious to based on things that have nothing to do with them being evil or good or repentant.
That's right. So that's why I personally think Pope Francis is a cynical left-wing atheist who has found the church as a convenient path to promote his essentially Marxist politics. And as a Catholic, it doesn't make me comfortable to say that, but I really think that's the case.
What is it like for you, John, before we get into your article more here, what's it like for you being a Catholic and being this, I don't know, disenfranchised by your Pope?
I feel like a child in an abusive home watching my drunk dad beat my mom, the mother church, and there's nothing I can do about it.
That's got to hurt. I mean, hasn't it always been said, and by the way, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't know, that the Pope is basically perfect, or that at least the choice, when he speaks ex cathedra, I mean.
Pope Francis hasn't done.
Okay.
He has not had the nerve to speak ex cathedra because we believe that God would strike somebody dead rather than let him teach heresy ex cathedra. And I think Pope Francis has a certain superstitious view that maybe God exists. He doesn't really believe it, but what if? So he's not going to take any chances. He's just going to destroy the church in all the areas that we don't have divine protection from.
How did this guy get to be Pope? I mean, because I got to be honest, and once again, I'm looking from the outside here, but I would say this, looking from the outside at any religion, it could be Buddhism, it could be the Catholic Church, Mormonism, whatever. When I see a leader of that body saying things or acting in such biased ways that have nothing to do with their foundational documents, I just don't get it.
Well, he was very good at disguising himself. When he was elected, a cabal of very left-wing cardinals, including some of the worst in permitting the sexual abuse of children, including Cardinal McCarrick, who was molesting a boy he baptized as a baby, they had a conspiracy, and they called themselves the St. Gallen Mafia, his monastery, St. Gallen in Switzerland, where they used to meet. And they were conspiring to elect a radical left-wing pope. So it was kind of a coalition of Marxists, gay cardinals, pro-gay cardinals, and cardinals with a lot to hide about sex abuse, all gathering up to fool other cardinals who didn't know what this guy was really about.
Okay, now, does this all tie into is this part of your article, what I learned about the Antichrist while chatting with Eric Metaxas?
Yes.
Which, by the way, what a great title.
Thanks. So, while on the Eric Metaxas show, I was trying to put together all the pieces of what was so monstrous about Pope Francis's abuse of Christianity. And I noticed that it's not just Catholics. You see it all over the progressive churches. They're trying to make transgender people. They're trying to make abortionists. They're trying to make street criminals like Jacob Blake. Whatever is most repulsive to our sensibilities and most opposed to our human reason, regardless of how it comports with the Bible or traditional church teachings, they're trying to make us embrace that. Because if anyone who suffers because he goes to prison, we're supposed to see as a Christ figure. Well, what if he was guilty and deserved to go to prison? Doesn't matter. You're being a racist. You're being a sexist. You're being something. Sometimes you have privilege, he doesn't, so he's right and you're wrong. So it's just turning Christianity into a particularly stupid variety of left-wing ideology.
Okay, John, before we get your information here, let's talk about the Catholic Church here for just a second. Right now you have great division because there are people right now, I'm sure, who are listening to you who are big supporters of the Pope, and they're very upset that you would say these things. And I understand that. I get it. We all have our guy or our girl, whoever we support. Have you taken a lot of heat? Are you seeing great division? What are you seeing in the Catholic Church in America, especially?
Yeah, I'm seeing people quietly separate from each other. Like, I don't know anyone who thinks well of Pope Francis anymore. I've thrown away their phone numbers, and vice versa. So you're essentially seeing entirely separate organizations arise.
Wow.
With only the faintest pretense of any connection among them. And I suspect that if Pope Francis keeps going on this way, and if the cardinals he appointed elect someone like him, you're going to see millions more Catholics become evangelicals or Eastern Orthodox. It's impossible to keep up the cognitive dissonance when you have a pope who you're convinced is an atheist and he's appointing really dumb, mean, nasty leftists like Kupich in Chicago and Tobin in Newark and McElroy in San Diego. He's appointing the dumbest left-wing homosexuals in America to be bishops. That can't go on. What can't go on forever eventually won't go on.
Well, John,
so unless God cleans up the church, it's going to blow up.
John, you know, I'm an evangelical, so I'm on the outside looking in, but I'll tell you what, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope someone gets through to him and says, basically, stop the bias, quit picking favorites, grace to everyone, same treatment for everyone, get the politics out of this, and just talk about God and share his love for mankind. Because I do believe that I have been shown such incredible love by the Catholic Church and by the people in it, and I would just like to see it get back to that and not be so much pain and division. All right, John Zamirak, how can people read your stuff?
I write 5 days a week at stream.org.
How do you do that, by the way? I just got to ask, how do you write so many? I couldn't do that. I'd fall over.
And I'm writing a book.
You're crazy, man. You are you are one crazy Catholic. It's scary. All right, John, thank you so much. Folks, get John Zamirak's stuff at stream.org. You're going to love it every single time. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, next up is Flesh and Beck. No matter how good your case is, you need preparation and presentation. Because when you're in front of that judge, you want your guy or gal to be better than theirs. Don't take chances. Call Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. He's my lawyer. He can be yours, too. So call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested, trial ready.
All right, a good shop. You know, guys, bad weather keeps coming, doesn't it? We just had it.
It doesn't stop.
It was slick out there last night. Were you on the roads at all?
A little bit, and then the roads coming in this morning were miserable.
I know. Well, no matter how well you drive, the other driver might not be so careful. So in case of an accident, have this number handy, 720-541-7697. Remember, you control where your car goes, not the insurance company. They don't control that. You do. So call a good shop at 720-541-7697. Bad accident, you need a good shop.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Luke Cashman, the great one, who's drumming away on the table here.
I love this song.
You're having fun. Okay. On the line right now, we have author, novelist, we have Rachel Alexander. How you doing, Rachel?
I'm doing great. Just kind of don't know what to think about the verdict, but, you know, just moving along.
Well, Rachel, you made a terrible mistake. You're writing articles too fast, okay? Because I was all ready for the article. Actually, everything the Democrats do is racist, which, by the way, I believe the Democrat Party has basically embraced racism. I do. Because it's when you tell black people they don't know how to handle, you know, an ID, I'm sorry. You've gone too far. But now you just wrote a great new article. Police officer mistaking her gun for taser was not racism. I love it. Which one do you want to start with?
You know, definitely that one, because of the whole, you know, Derek Chauvin verdict coming out a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
There are similarities in that I don't think even that verdict today had to do with racism. We don't have any evidence that Derek Chauvin was actually a racist.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, and so this is the same case with this other case out of Minnesota, this Kim Potter, this former police officer, who thought she was pulling her taser, but she really pulled her gun, and she accidentally shot to death this Dwayne Wright, a black man. And if you go over everything about it, you can tell there is no evidence, or they would have, you know, dug it up by now, that she was a racist. But because this person who was shot and killed was black, Black Lives Matter and these far-left activists are dredging it up and making it into something more than it really was, which is just a police officer's mistake. And granted, it might be a serious mistake that might land them a few years in prison, but as we can already see what's happening with Derek Chauvin, they're not going to stop till he gets 80 years in prison.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder about this, because assuming that the motive is racism, you need to get some posts on Facebook. You need to get some emails or some texts or something to prove that. And they've done absolutely nothing to prove that. Now, did Derek Chauvin spend too much time on this guy's neck? I think you can prove that. But all the rest of it, everything they're burning down cities for, I don't get it, Rachel.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, when you do the statistics and the numbers, you know, they've increasingly showed that, you know, white people who are arrested in violent incidences by the police, you know, what happens to them, you know, being the victims is a lot less than what happens in the case of black people who get into incidents with the police. Those police, the latter, are punished more severely. So if anything, you know, we have...
Okay, no, wait, oh, Rachel, on. I got a little lost there. So what you're saying is police when they have a violent incident with a white person, are going to be punished far less severely on average than when they have a violent interaction with a black person. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, just making sure.
Somebody just, yeah, and one of the hosts on Newsmax just said the same thing. And so this is out there, and people know this. We don't have a problem with racism in our police. We might have a problem with some police mistraining, but it's nowhere near the level of police brutality that you see in all these third world countries every day.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, here in America, quite honestly, while we're going to have racism because it's human, right? It's everywhere to a degree. We're going to have racism in police departments just because they're huge and people aren't perfect. However, in America, it seems to me, Rachel, that we see as little racism as you can possibly imagine in police departments.
Exactly. The level is very small. And, you know, there was a member of Congress who was questioning one of Biden's nominees, and I apologize, I can't remember either name off the top of my head right now, but she said that everybody is inherently racist. And so he responded back to her and said, okay, well, can you tell me which race that you're racist against then?
Oh, that's good. And yeah. By the way, I'm just going to say it right now, Rachel. No, I'm not. Okay? I don't care what skin color you have. I do not care. I look at your soul, not your skin. I look at your mind, not your skin. I look at your character, not your skin. I just don't care. I've never cared. It means nothing to me. All people are beautiful. Every child is a miracle, no exceptions. So why on earth do we have to keep dividing people like this? You wrote your previous article was on how everything the left does is racist. Please touch on that.
Well, I wrote that article because I was beginning to realize that the left wasn't just attacking us for a few obvious positions like being against affirmative action as being racist. They've now expanded that to every position that a conservative holds. They have some argument as to why it is racist. And, you know, it usually comes down to because, you know, more minorities proportionately are poor, and therefore anything we do, no matter how well-intended, if it looks like it disproportionately affects these minorities, then it's inherently racist. Well, you can turn that argument around and use it right back at them and say anything they do because minorities are more disproportionately lower income can hurt them. So when you increase the minimum wage, you know, which lays off, employers end up laying off the, you know, lowest level people on the rung, that ends up hurting them. You increase regulations, well, that increases the cost for employers, so they go and they lay off the lowest rung. So I just turned it all around on them, and it just goes to show what an empty argument it really is.
Yeah, by the way, I never want to debate you, just so you know. If we ever start to debate, would you just tell me not to? Because, you know,
that's the nicest compliment anyone has ever said to me. Thanks.
I look dumb enough, okay, many times on my own. I don't need the help, and I just don't think that would go very well. You know, I do not understand why so many people do not see the racism in the Democrat Party. Okay? To me, this is crazy. Affirmative action in itself is racism. Okay? You are basically saying, look, I believe that this race is so incompetent and helpless that they need advantages and they need things taken away from that race. So you're saying, I want to take from one race because I disrespect the other race. I mean, is that not affirmative action?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And what about all those conservative blacks who have come out, and there are so many of them who say we don't need affirmative action. We can do it on our own. I mean, it's like they don't even exist. And so they know they're smart enough. And you know, one of my favorite arguments is just to say, I think the smartest man alive today is Thomas Sowell. And that usually shuts people down.
Oh, he's brilliant. He is absolutely brilliant. And by the way, can I add something here? Not only is the left racist, heavily racist, but virtually all violence is left wing. You know, you'll have people who say, oh, what you mean it's black people. No. Let me ask you this, Rachel. How many of those people tearing up Minneapolis and Seattle and so forth are young black Republicans? How many black conservatives do you see rioting in the streets and burning down 7-Elevens? Zero. This is not about skin color. It's about ideology. Am I right?
Oh, you're way smarter than you give yourself credit for.
I steal all these ideas from my wife. She texts me.
Oh, the woman behind the man who's the brain. But
oh, yeah.
It.
Heck yeah. But I mean,
well, I need one of those.
But,
guy, though.
but Rachel, I mean, all I see, this is not a race thing. I see liberals constantly committing violence. And I mean constantly. All right. It's out of hand. And whether or not you believe in the Derek Chauvin verdict or not, or to the extent of it, all I know is this. The left made it very clear, led by people like Maxine Waters, if we don't get our verdict, we're going to burn this thing down. Okay. And so at that point, they don't want trials. They want the hanging. And that's all they want. And that, to me, has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with ideology. Go ahead.
Yeah, because they're trying to scare conservatives into not talking. They figure if they burn down enough businesses, you know, we're just going to shut up. And what I hate what they do is, you know, you point out that they're the ones committing all the violence. What they do is they try to deflect, and they always say, well, that conservative was inciting violence. And we all know that conservative really wasn't, you know, like Trump saying walk to the Capitol. But they will talk about it for days and days and days, and then they'll put like 10,000, you know, 20,000 National Guard troops in D.C. because, oh, my gosh, we are so worried about all this violence that the conservatives are indefinitely inciting. And then there's no violence, no violence on, you know, Biden's inauguration day.
No.
But it doesn't matter. For days, they've been building it up in people's heads. And so that's all American people start to think of.
Yeah, but Trump told his supporters march peacefully and patriotically. That's a quote. March peacefully and patriotically up upon the Capitol. Now, he told them to march to a place where the Democrats in office there were behind walls and with guards. Okay. Meanwhile, Maxine Waters is telling her supporters to confront members of the Trump cabinet out in the streets when they are at restaurants, when they are at the supermarket or wherever. They're not guarded. They're not behind walls. And she's saying press upon them. Out in those settings. Who was calling for violence there, Rachel?
If a Republican member of Congress had said the exact same thing Maxine Waters did, the FBI would be investigating them immediately. It is a complete double standard. This woman is out of control, and by the left's own standards, where if you merely say anything that kind of sounds like it might kind of be inciting violence, she is definitely guilty. So it's asinine, and the sad thing is that she really does go too far, because I really do think that people listen to her and do riot because she's telling them to. And so, you know, the only good thing of this verdict that came out today is, you know, millions of dollars of businesses aren't going to be looted and set on fire. But,
right.
But that's not a good ending. That's not how it should be, because all those people out there claim they were rioting about race when this was never about race.
All right. Rachel Alexander, once again, shooting straight. Rachel, how do people read your stuff?
Town Hall and my own personal website, Intellectual Conservative. And you can find me on social media, including Gab and Parler.
Okay. And I'm warning you, we're going to drag you back here. Just so you know.
I have a great time. I have a great time. Anytime.
Thanks, Rachel. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye. Okay, folks, Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. With rates this low, every day you don't call Kurt Rogers to get refinanced is a day you're wasting money. To start saving real money, call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Roof Max is next. Okay, maybe you got a new roof in the last few years, but this is Colorado. Dry heat, hail, heavy snow, high winds, everything that makes us run inside is still pounding on that roof outside. But if you call Dave Hart at 303-710-6916, Roof Max will revitalize your roof and add years to its life. That saves you money, and that's Roof Max at 303-710-6916.
Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs. Especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Luke Cashman. Jersey Joe is on the line. And Joe, Luke has a message for you.
How you doing, Joe?
Luke, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing better than you.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are... We already have somebody who's better at it than me. This is embarrassing.
My wife and I almost didn't make the call because my wife and I were practicing our weekly run and hide drill. I don't know if you know this, but in New Jersey, if two guys are trying to break in your house and you hear the glass break and you see them climbing through your window, you're not allowed to shoot them. They've replaced what's called the Castle Doctrine, which means you can shoot somebody breaking into your house, with the duty to retreat doctrine, which means you have to go run and hide and lock yourself in the bathroom and call 911, and you are not allowed to shoot that person. So we were practicing our run and hide drill today.
Do they force you to formally apologize, you know, like we do with Iran?
You know, I didn't read that far into the law, but I do know you are obligated to retreat and use every means at your disposal to avoid a confrontation.
In your own home. Unbelievable.
Yes. If you, some guy's climbing through your window with a gun in his hand and you shoot him, you've broken the law because you didn't go. Yes.
Joe, I swear a year from now, you and I, we're going to be talking on the radio. You're going to call in. You're going to be a full commie. I mean, this is crazy. It's your own home.
It's my own home. Duty to retreat has replaced the Castle Doctrine in this state. Speaking of gun laws, I'm on my cruising the liberal websites today, and what do I see is a meme from Moms Demand Action, which you know is a rabid anti-gun group.
Yep.
Have you seen their meme today?
No. What does it say, Joe? It's very enlightening, and it'll make me a wiser person. What's it say?
It says, "Victory in Colorado. two gun safety bills signed into law in Colorado that will, number one, help prevent unintentional shootings and gun suicides, and two, help prevent stolen guns from being used in crimes. Now, my first question is, how does the law says, the law about the stolen guns, to say if you lose or have a gun stolen, you have to report it to authorities in 5 days. My question is, how does the act of reporting that your gun has been stolen help prevent that gun, that stolen gun, from being used in a crime? Can you explain that to me?
Go ahead, Luke. Field that one.
I have a sneaking suspicion that it doesn't.
See, Luke, I told you to drink heavily in the first hour so you could get ready for this stuff. And what do you do? Here you are still sober in the third hour, and you can't make sense of what Jared Polis just signed.
Which is my mistake, because hearing all of this is making me actively lose brain cells.
Yes. Yeah. Unbelievable. How are you going to pass a law to keep an illegal weapon from being used? Joe, help me here.
I can't.
It's illegal already.
He's already committed a crime. The fact that you've reported it to the police is not going to change what happens to that gun after it's already left your possession.
Nope.
Either the guy who stole it's going to use it in a crime, or he's going to sell it to somebody else in a legal transaction, and that person's going to use it in a crime. But the act of you reporting it to the, hey, my gun was stolen, is not going to change. And by the way, in terms of how many guns are stolen in this, people worry, talk about this imaginary gun show loophole. Luke, do you have any idea how many guns are stolen in this country every year?
I wouldn't be able to venture a guess.
About 500,000. Now, the DOJ has done, they did a study about 10 years ago. They came up with at least 250. Let me give you a stat. There's one home burglary in this country every 18 seconds, roughly three burglaries a minute. And one out of three of those homes will have one or more guns in them that will be stolen. And there's about 500,000 minutes in a year. So once a minute, there's a burglary where one or more guns are stolen from a home. So 500,000 guns, which puts the inventory of stolen guns on the street, since this has been going on for 20 years, puts the inventory of stolen guns on the street at around 10 million stolen guns in the hands of criminals. And they're worried about, you know, a gun show sale.
John, Joe, it's okay, because we just passed a law. That's all taken care of. You're safe now.
Yeah, I'm safe. Jared Polis, I'm not. And by the way, let's talk about gun suicide. You know, they say gun suicides. In 1996, Australia passed a gun law that resulted in the confiscation of nearly a million guns in a country that has the population about the same size as Texas.
Yep, I remember that.
And they also made it extraordinarily difficult to buy a new gun. And you know what happened? The number of people committing suicide by gun went down. But you know what happened to the total suicide rate? It went up. It climbed. It continued. So
you're kidding. They found other ways to do that?
Imagine. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they resulted in hanging and drug overdoses. The number of suicides actually climbed. They simply changed the method. Somebody wants to kill themselves, they will. So they always focus on what was a gun death. Well, somebody wants to kill themselves, depriving them of access to a gun is not going to prevent that, or is rarely going to prevent that.
If someone wants to commit murder, they're going to commit murder, access to a legal firearm or not. If your desire is to kill people, you're going to kill people. I mean, murder is already illegal. Right. So what is making guns more illegal do?
Luke and Joe, I'm going to throw this to you, Joe. I've never understood the mentality of people who want law abiding citizens to be less armed than the lawbreakers who don't follow gun laws. I've never understood this. Go ahead.
It's like it's taking away cars from sober drivers because drunk drivers kill people. I mean, it's just.
Oh, that's good. By the way, I like that. I'm going to use that.
To Luke's point, the guy in Nice, France, a couple of years ago, killed 86 people in under 60 seconds just by driving a truck into a crowd. And that crowd, by the way, was walking on an open, unfenced street next to a beach in Nice, France. Now, let's flash back to the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas. You had 20,000 people not walking on an open street. You had 20,000 people packed shoulder to shoulder inside a 6-foot-high security fence. What do you think? the death toll would have been if somebody had deprived that guy of his guns, but he had just gone down the street and rented a U-Haul truck and drove a U-Haul truck into a crowd of 20,000 people with nowhere to run at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Think he would have killed 57 people or more?
More.
More double, without question.
Triple. Right. So I call it squeezing the balloon. People who think you can prevent evil or crazy people from killing other people just by depriving them of access to a certain type of weapon is akin to believing that you can make a balloon smaller just by squeezing it in one place. It doesn't work.
That's another good analogy.
That is a really good analogy. Joe, can I hold you over the break so you can give us more good analogies?
Well, if anybody else but you, I would have said no, but since it's you, I'll say yes.
It's me. Well, yeah, I know you wouldn't do it for Luke. We talked earlier, and you said right. But you'll do it for me. Okay, let's do this first. Novus Auto Glass. You know, Luke, we always think every windshield replacement place is the same, right? That's what you basically think.
I mean, yeah, makes sense, right?
Yeah. Well, they're not. Windshields used to be something you just slap on a car, but now they're literally a structural part with lots of technology. Tons. I swear my windshield can do my taxes.
That's impressive.
Just about. I mean, it's incredible what they put in these things. Well, Novus is second to none in getting the right fit, the right adjustments for all that tech. So call Novus Auto Glass. That's NOVUS at rushtoreason.com/Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right? Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Luke Cashman on the line. We got Jersey Joe. Joe, take us home.
Well, did you see the press release from Target this morning about their Minneapolis sale? No. Luke.
Yes, share this.
Luke, are you familiar with the Babylon Bee?
I am. I'm very familiar.
Yeah, well, they were kind enough to forward this press release from the Target stores this morning. This was in anticipation of the Chauvin verdict today. So here's the press release. It says, "Today we've got a great deal alert for you. All the Targets in the greater Minneapolis area are planning a big everything-is-free sale in celebration of the end of the Derek Chauvin trial." Now, held several times a year, the sale is greatly the sale is a greatly anticipated event among residents, with many holding off on their largest purchases until the start of the promotion. If the promotion proves successful, the store may expand the promotion to target locations across the country. Stores in urban areas are much more likely to hold the sale, according to a spokesman for the retail establishment. Here's a quote, "Look out for our exciting Everything is Free sale coming soon to your area," said the PR rep nervously. "Just come in and do some shopping, browse around, throw some bricks. It's a real event around here, a local custom, you might say. And please don't hurt me. I'm on your side. Justice." Financial advisors say this is a great chance to get some fantastic deals, and also that it's the only time your wife will be able to leave Target while spending less than $100.
You know what, though, Joe? I hear everybody is totally safe in those stores because they've all been taught by the New Jersey people to run away.
To run away and hide.
Yes, run away and hide.
I feel like it's a scary world we live in when the line between satire and a real news article begins to bleed together.
I know. It's so sad. It's so scary. Joe, tell me this. Why does anyone live in Minneapolis anymore? I mean it.
You know, I don't know. I'd love to see the stats. The only thing that's saving New Jersey from being a ghost town, by the way, they were number two, Luke, number two United Van Lines last year. They were number two in people leaving. The only thing that's saving this place from becoming a ghost town is that people from New York City were emigrating to into New Jersey, picking up a lot of the slack.
I don't understand that at all, by the way, Joe, because why on earth would people who are going down on the Titanic be looking at each other saying, where is another ship that's going down? I mean, you know, these frozen waters look pretty good. How can we get the raft over to another ship that's going under? Why does anybody who's going to leave New York go to New Jersey?
Well, I think because their employment is still there and they have to be within a commuting distance of New York City. Mm-hmm. But, you know, New York is number one in terms of, it used to be California, New York, New Jersey. Then last year, New York displaced California. So that's the only thing that saved New Jersey. New Jersey still had a net loss, but not as bad as it would have been. I've got a brother-in-law who's a realtor, and he's telling me it's just crazy the people coming from New York City buying homes in New Jersey, which is the only thing that saved them from becoming a ghost town out here.
Joe, would you consider fleeing New York City to be great cardio? I mean, it just seems to me that a lot of people are losing weight just by running in one direction.
Running, you know, you got a point there. Maybe they could charge something for that. by the way, interesting thing about New Jersey, the tolls, it is free to enter New Jersey, but they charge you a toll if you want to leave.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
No!
That's going to be the new state license plate motto. We only charge you to leave.
we are bordering on some crazy dystopian future stuff here, man.
Well, I mean, it's already like this, Luke, when you look at U-Hauls, right, Joe? I mean, give us some figures on U-Hauls, because this blows me away.
Well, for instance, in San Francisco, if you want a U-Haul one way to California, it's $3,600. If you want to take from California to Texas, if you want to go a U-Haul Dallas back to San Francisco, it's $250. It's basically just to cover the insurance.
Oh my gosh!
When I was growing up, Joe, I'm very, very old. I'm 57. Everybody wanted to move to California when I was a kid. That was like the place to go, and now it's the place to flee. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, my family left from California about 2 years ago.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I'll give you one closer to home. When we came out here back in November, Luke, we had a really new washer dryer with us that we took with us from Colorado to New Jersey, and the home came with an older washer and dryer. My daughter lives in Pennsylvania. She graduated Penn State and never left. She works there, and she said, "Yeah, I'll take that." So she drove my wife's car out here. We did a two-car caravan from Colorado to New Jersey, and the plan was she was going to get here, leave my wife's car here. We were going to get her a U-Haul rental truck, put the washer and dryer in it, and she was going to drive it back one way and with the washer dry and return the truck to State College. Well, that was the plan. I started calling around Ryder, U-Haul, budget truck rental. They all laughed at me. There were no one-way rental trucks anywhere in the state. to go anywhere. You, the round trip only. They said, no, if you want to bring one back, you know, we'll make you a hell of a deal. But they said, no, we have no.
Because no one's coming there.
There were no, but seriously, I must have called 15 different rental. I even called, there's a central office you can call where they'll scour. You cannot do a one-way out-of-state rental anymore with any of the truck rental companies.
But, Joe, we just elected a president who runs the party that runs all these places people are running from. So we elected him.
Yep. Yes. People vote against their own self-interest all the time. They don't know it, but they are. And by the way, and it's interesting that the top three states are solid blue that are losing population. California, New York, New Jersey, 1, 2, 3.
Who's gaining the most right now, Texas or Florida?
Texas. Yeah, I think Florida's number two. Well, you know, Elon Musk just moved to Texas. Wow. By the way, last year, Jersey lost a resident to Florida. That one resident was responsible for 1% of New Jersey state income taxes. One guy accounted for 1%, and he left.
Well, that's okay, though, Joe, because you're there now. We got to go, and you can pay all the taxes that he didn't. That'll do it for today, folks. If you missed the first hour, it replays next. John will be back tomorrow. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.